various flavors and talents and gifts and skills are a blessing to us. Let's stand together and pray, if you will. As Marilyn is our teacher this morning, let's ask the Lord's blessing over her and our own hearts. Father, we offer ourselves to you as recipients of your instruction and counsel and grace, and we're reminded, Lord, that we live lives that are unusually blessed and favored and happy and joyful for so many reasons, because we've given ourselves to you and because we walk with you according to your ways and not according to the counsel of an ungodly world. We don't walk in a way that's instructed by wickedness. We don't stand with the ones who have an agenda of sin and selfishness. We don't sit with those who scoff at the existence of God and agree with them. But rather, Lord, our delight is in the things that you say and in the words that you speak into our lives and in the counsel that you speak into our very soul, so that we have in us a measure of your character, a portion of your nature, an understanding of your ways. And we're like a tree on the banks of the Mississippi River, and we can look over into Tennessee and see where the ground is dry, and across into Arkansas where it hasn't rained, but the river always flows. And the roots of the tree are down where the soil is rich and the water is there. And it's nourished, and it puts forth leaves in the appropriate season. And everything that we put our hands to, Lord, like the tree that bears fruit, everything we put our hands to by your grace bears fruit and shows profit. And we know the ungodly are not so, but they're like the chaff that the wind drives away. They spend a lifetime on fruitless things. They get to themselves great wealth, and it's a loss. They spend years on some things that they look back on and find no benefit in and wonder why the years were spent at all. In our lives, Lord, are lived in your favor, for which we're deeply thankful. So we ask, Father, that we might truly be the vessels of your wisdom, the ones who would hear your counsel, the ones who truly fear you, that you would be able to confide in us, and that we would receive truth for our lives, that we might be conformed to the image of Christ, that we might think like you do, that we might have priorities like you have, that we might have principles, Lord, formed by your truth, so that in all of our lives we can honor you and live the life of an example of your grace, for which we thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. So this is what it's like to be Tim.
Not like that.
Thank you, honey. Well, the Lord is already cooking. He's already giving words to some who will be offering those at the end of the service. So hang around, see what happens. I'm a little jealous of Val Hartwell, and I understand Tina Freeze. They got to go see Joyce Meyer this last weekend. They got filled up. So I would like to ask that you guys would share the gift that the Lord gave with you. And at the end of the service, would you be available to pray for people? All right. Because I know you came back filled up and overflowing. Well, as you heard, Pastor Leonie is in Korea, and he invited me to fill in for the service while he was gone. It's such an honor for me to have a place made for the Lord to use the gifts that he has put into me. And I appreciate so much his support and his encouragement for all of us to find a place in the body of Christ. Believe me, I'm a little more comfortable being down there where you are, but we do what the Lord gives us. That's our assignment, and away we go. There is just one thing I want to get out of the way this morning. I was in the early service, and I discovered that when I did this, it clinked. So they're going. Enjoy the earrings. They're gone. Now that sounded like my family. I feel like I'm in Texas now. Yeah. I decided to try to follow a little bit of the path that Lanny's been laying. And as I was praying, asking the Lord to show me where he wanted to go today, he reminded me of a particular sermon that Lanny taught on the principles of faith. And it was the foundational principles of faith. he started off with a provocative thought that really caught my attention, and it just sort of turned over and over in my mind, and didn't know what to do with it other than it was there, and decided that maybe that's the direction I would run. His thought was, faith in faith is not faith. Any of you remember that? Faith in faith is not faith. And as I looked at it, I began to realize that, okay, this is the direction the Lord wants to go. But I have an odd history with the Lord. And my history with the Lord is that whenever he has a word for me to share, he likes to make me live through it before I get to deliver it. And sometimes that's really, really fun, because sometimes the word that he gives me is one of those fill you up, excitement full of joy words. And then every once in a while, he tells me that we're going to talk about faith. And because I've been in the Lord for a while, that's a lot like praying for humility or patience. And I went, oh, Lord, are we going to go there? Do we have to go there? And he's like, yes, we're going to go there, but it's going to be good. And this is a phrase I've learned from the Lord that means it's going to be hard, but the end result is going to pay in benefits. And so I said, okay, Lord, let's go. I'm buckling in and let's go for it. So I've had a very interesting, it's been about 3 weeks where the Lord and I have been working through particular issues that I won't be sharing today because they're personal and have to do with other people beside myself. But the fruit of it is the word that he's bringing today. Faith in faith is not faith. We know from Scripture in Hebrews 12:2 that the universal truth is that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. My Christian faith operates in relationship to the author, to Jesus. My faith begins and it ends with him. And the more I know about him, the more I know about faith. Now, I know that with my head, but from time to time, when I get into a circumstance that's right in my face, and it doesn't look the way I think it's supposed to look, and it's difficult to see beyond that, sometimes I will begin to pray in a manner that is an attempt to get God to cooperate with what I want to happen. And I'll think, if I can just pray long enough, if I can just pray hard enough, if I can just say the right combination of words to get him to see that where I'm going is the right place to go, and that he really should cooperate with me in the expression of my will on this earth. And I forget that just praying like it's a spiritual mantra isn't faith. That's attempting to create faith in faith, but not faith in the author of our faith, which is Jesus. And so I began to learn over the years that if I was going to build on the platform of faith that God gives to each and every one of us, I had to really discover more about who the Lord is. And it's like that in human relationships. I have a friend that I've known for 14 years or so. When I first met this person, I didn't know them very well. I just would talk to them from time to time. And then over the years, the Lord just began to grow something between us. And as we knew each other longer, I began to learn more about her character, about her nature, about her love and her ways. I began to discover that if I was sick, I could almost bet on getting a bowl of chicken soup. And I would discover that if I had to go out of town unexpectedly and I had no place to keep my dog, she would open her house and take my dog, who has not always been a well-behaved dog, I would say. And I began to discover that if I was in prayer crisis and I needed somebody to talk to at any time of the day or night, I could call this friend and they would pray with me anytime, anywhere, any place. I discovered that if my daughter was in crisis, that she would do anything and everything on behalf of my daughter as if she were her own. About a month ago, my husband was out of the country, and I discovered when I came outside of the house that the tire was flat on his car. And I knew he was getting home just in time to get up and go to work the next day. And I thought, I've got to get the tire off this car and get it fixed before he gets home. So that's just one more thing he doesn't have to worry about. But I don't know, women, have you tried to get lug nuts off of a car that's been tightened at the shop? Well, it requires a little dance on top of the bar. And I've discovered over the years I'm not quite heavy enough to get the lug nuts off. And so I was staring at this and trying to figure out what I was going to do. And about 8 o'clock that night, there was a knock on my door. And this friend had called someone just to come to my house to get the lug nuts off my car. I know her. I know her character. I know her nature. I know her ways. I know her love because we have a relationship. And it's been a relationship that has grown over the years. And there's been back and forth, give and take, conversation. And in a nutshell, this is what should be happening between us and the Lord. If you've been in the Lord for a short time, then your relationship is still in the acquaintance stage. You're getting to know him. You're getting to find out how he is predisposed to act in certain situations on your behalf. And it's one of those things that you cannot hurry. When you first know the Lord, it's a little like dating. You're trying to find out who he is and how does he respond and what will he listen to? Can I whine? Am I allowed to voice whining? What can I do? But as you're with the Lord longer and longer, it is literally a relationship that turns into a commitment, a life commitment that becomes a marriage. And it's a marriage that will not break down on you, will not isolate itself from you. He will be there to continue to grow the relationship. He's a rock. He's a shelter. He's a strong place where we can go at any time, whether times are hard or whether times are easy. The world and times that we live in demand hope. They demand hope. And there's only one place that you can get real hope, and that is from him. Hope is one of those things that grows out of a foundation of faith, but it's built upon your history with the Lord. And everyone has a unique history with the Lord. We heard Tim talk about his unique relationship with the Lord. Lawnmowers. As Pete says, I couldn't be more different. But he has a history in the Lord that he can call upon at any time. History is one of the most valuable, powerful weapons in your arsenal, especially when times are difficult, because you're able to look back on a past history of how the Lord heard you and answered your prayer. It's one of those things that each and every one of us needs to cultivate and practice and be careful that we don't lose. The trust that I have in the Lord depends on how well I know his nature, his character, his love, and his ways. But it also is dependent on understanding and speaking his language. How many of you have ever lived in a foreign country? Quite a few, because we're a military community. And you're aware that when you first learn a new language, it's not always real easy to pick up, because you have a word that means something to you in English. You attempt to speak it in Spanish, and it may have an entirely different context for the people who are listening to you. We have a spiritual language to learn in our relationship. And lots of times we think we're talking the same language as God, but when he says, pray for patience and humbling, he has a whole other word in his mind than we do. Is that correct? We want to learn to speak the same language as Him, and it's a spiritual language, which the Scripture promises that we have access to in His Spirit. That as we pray, He is able to speak to us, like I guess it was Tim that was saying earlier. He longs and loves those opportunities of conversation, and He looks to help us understand spiritual language from His point of view in such a way that we can begin to build together that unique history that is the bedrock of our faith with Him. Faith has a measure, Pastor Lanny told us. Faith has a measure, and it is the size of the object of our faith that determines the size of our faith. I'm going to say that again. Faith has a measure, and it is the size of the object of our faith that determines the size of our faith. We each get that starting measure of grace, and then we get to cultivate it. The size of my faith may be enlarged. It may have bigger boundaries than someone who's only been in the Lord for a year. But each one of us have that opportunity to take the faith that we've been given on salvation and to grow the boundaries of it so that it becomes something that we can rely on and depend on when we need it most. We find the boundaries of His word declare for us His actions, His ways, His nature, His character. We find wonderful descriptions of that in the Old Testament, in the stories, and the way that He interacted with His people. We also find it in the Psalms, where David is so eloquent in so many of the Psalms, just describing who God is and what He's predisposed to do in a given situation. I love reading those stories and thinking to myself, well, if God will do that for them, God will do that for me. And I can reach out there to grab hold of the foundation that He's laid for me in His Word. But there is a book by Ellen White. It's called Desire of the Ages. And I came across this quote by her that was really meaningful to me. And I'm going to read it to you. She says, "There is greater encouragement for us in the least blessing that we ourselves receive from God than in all the accounts we read of faith and the experience of others." Is that not true? We read the Word. We're encouraged by what we read in the Word. But even in the reading of that, it is nothing compared to when He responds to a personal request and we see concrete evidence of His moving in our lives in response to our prayer. "The soul that responds to the grace of God shall be like a watered garden." That's a picture like Brian was praying before we started. Dry ground over here and dry ground over here, but through the middle runs the river of God. And those who will take up their residence next to the river, let their roots go down and drink of the water, they will never be dry without resource, no matter what is going on in the world around them. She says, "Let us then remember the loving kindness of the Lord and the multitude of His tender mercies. Like the people of Israel, let us set up our stones of witness and inscribe upon them the precious story of what God has wrought for us." That sounds wonderful, doesn't it? That's what I want for my life. That's how I want to live my life. That's what I aspire to. So then, what do we do when our faith wavers? And everyone has those seasons when their faith wavers. In fact, I'm going to prove it to you right now. Everyone who has ever said in your faith, "Dear God, what are you thinking? I don't understand. I'm praying and I don't see what I'm expecting to see. Are you there? Are you listening? Is this real?" Raise your hand. Okay, I want you to look around. We all have those seasons. And I want you to know, just by looking around, these are people who have been in the Lord for 50 years and those who have been in the Lord for 1 year. Life can be startling sometimes in its opportunities for grace. My last 2 weeks were an interesting experience in laying hold of the word of faith. I couldn't see with my eyes what I was expecting to see. I couldn't find what I was expecting to find. And yet I knew, because of my history, I knew that God was able. And I drew on that day by day. I recall to my mind, yes, this is difficult, but I remember just last summer when you did a really difficult thing. And you said to me, Marilyn, this is going to be good. I'd heard that phrase before, this is going to be good. And what followed was 4 weeks of hell. And during that 4 weeks of hell, I was in turmoil. And I was in upheaval. And I was crying out to God to see something that I expected to see. And it didn't come about in the way I expected it to come about. But you know what? God did exactly what he said he was going to do. And it was good. So last month, when he said, Marilyn, this is going to be good, I knew more. But I also knew, okay, it may not be pretty, and it may not be simple, and it might be a little messy, but I know what this is going to be good means. I have a frame of reference now. And that history was like an anchor for me. And I cannot tell you how many times I referred back to my history and said, yes, God, but I know. Every one of you has a unique history in the Lord. Danny Hartwell, you have a unique history in the Lord. No one has walked your path. And you bring that to ministry every time you share. Rhonda Harris, you have a unique ministry in the Lord. Don Weber, you have a unique history in the Lord. Nobody else here has your experience, not even Maria. Only you have walked the road that you've walked. But you have, because you and I have been around for a while, I'm aware that your backpack is huge with experiences that you can call on when things look messy. Yes, but I remember when. And you declare it. I know you do because I know you. You declare it and you see the Lord's deliverance. That's what we do when doubt comes. We broaden our perspective and we remember what God can do. I want to share with you something that the Lord showed me recently that I found so comforting in an odd way. And that is that he reminded me that he is an artist. That when he created the world, he was expressing that part of him, which is an artist. And when you look anywhere in the world, you can see such unbelievable variety in the color palettes, in the scenery from country to country and area to area. In just the unbelievable different types of animals that he created. And there are some really strange animals out there. If you ever watch the National Geographic Channel, it's unbelievable what he crafted and the nature that he put in them. And while this is a wonderful, marvelous thing to know about our God, it also explains why he rarely answers our prayers in the same way. He delights in his creative process. He delights to answer our prayers in different, wonderful, unusual ways. And so when we look back in our bag of history, we think, well, yes, you did deliver me, and I think it's going to look like that this time. It rarely does. I cannot tell you the last time the solution that I envisioned was the one that he delivered. Because he isn't boring. He knows he's going to come through for you. He's going to do it with an artist touch, a new and different way. I love that about him when I'm getting the answer. But I have to dig into my history when I'm waiting for the answer and remember the variety of ways that he's ministered to me before. One of the best ways that you can combat times of doubt is to come against fear. Fear is really the thing that tears apart at the roots of our faith, because we fear losing things that are valuable to us. Fear of loss is one of those things that corrodes the foundation of faith. And so we have to restore our perspective of who God is and where he's going in our lives. And we do that by holding on to the concrete things that we know. And one of the most concrete things that we have is the Word. I love so much that he captured the heart and cries and prayers of David for us. I mean, these are words from thousands of years ago. And yet he was a man just like me, put together just like me. And when you read his Psalms, if you have time, read Psalm 71, 10 through 23. I recommend it as a wonderful template for how to pray and to call on your unique history in the Lord. Because David puts everything out there. People are trying to kill me. I don't understand. They say that you've given up on me and you're not going to help me. And I really just want you to smote them and strike them and kill them and wipe them off of the face of the earth. That would be his human part. I don't think we're supposed to pray like that. But he shares with us the turmoil of what's going on in his life. But the thing I love about David is that in almost every one of his Psalms, he always lays hold of what God has done for him, and he declares it. And in his case, he declared it vocally. He didn't just do it in his own quiet prayer time, but he did it in such a way that now, thousands of years later, we still put music to his words, and we sing them daily, weekly. He allowed for himself to express his human side, and then he made place for God to do what God does best, and that is to come to our aid with a solution of his creative doing. Pastor Lanny also encouraged us to stretch our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yes, we know that. But it also comes by maturing in our understanding of the word of God that we have. I have told a story in the past. It's very short, and I want to tell it again today because I really feel like it speaks to where we are. When my daughter was a teenager, we had one of those Saturdays, I think it was a Saturday, where from the moment she got up, she was asking me to do things that she just wanted to go and do. And every single one of them was a bad idea, a very bad idea. And so she would ask a question and I would have to say, no. And then she would ask another and I would have to say, no. And then another, and I, all day long, it was no. No, no. And I got to a place in the day where the mother's heart in me was so frustrated because I love my girl. I wanted to say yes to her. I wanted to bless her. I wanted so very much to say yes that I finally sat down with her and I said, please, please ask me anything that I can say yes to. Anything at all. And the answer will be yes if I can say yes. I really feel like sometimes that's the relationship we have with our Father. He longs to bless us. He longs to come to our aid. But we have to ask things that he can say yes to. And we have to remember that his frame of reference is completely different from ours. Often when we're in pain or when we're in crisis, our world becomes so very small and it's just me or the immediate people in my life. But his frame of reference is eternal. and from an eternal viewpoint, and my place in that eternity, and the place that I have that affects all the people that He has put in my life and that He has given me to affect. And so when He answers me, He has the big picture in mind. And while I want this answer, He recognizes that if instead He does this, then the ripple effects go out. Perspective is a marvelous, wonderful thing. And when we're young, we don't have it yet. But as we grow in the Lord, we learn. And this is a challenge. I want to challenge you to learn that if you're finding yourself in a string of prayers where you're not getting any yeses, step back, ask the Holy Spirit to give you His perspective. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you God's perspective. Ask Him to show you how to pray. Ask Him to show you what to ask for, because He longs to say yes. He longs to enlarge that foundation of faith that we have day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year, so that we have this long road of experiences to declare. One of the things that I do on a regular basis, and I recommend highly, and in fact, I would challenge you to do this as well, is that when I pray, I'm careful to express gratefulness. Gratefulness is a wonderful foundational building block for faith, because everyone wants to hear gratefulness, even God. You know, when you do something for somebody day after day after day and they never acknowledge their gratefulness to you, you'll still keep doing it, but you'll think, we've got some work to do here. It's the same with the Lord. And so when I pray, I try to make a habit of making the first thing out of my mouth an expression of gratefulness for the last two or three things He did in answer to my prayer. It's not only good for me to remember, but it's good for me to declare. And it's like the streams of water from my faith. And I declare it for whoever else is listening. If there happen to be people in the room, great, fine. If it happens to be angelic hosts or demonic, they get to hear it too. And I declare out into the atmosphere around me what I know and am grateful for about my Lord. And it helps me keep a history, an ongoing history of what the Lord has done and I can have faith will do in my life. The last thing I would mention is if you are growing your faith, one of the best ways to do it is to pray Scripture. I love to go to the Proverbs and to the Psalms and personalize them, especially if I'm looking for a particular need. And I like to personalize them. And while I have a whole string of them, I'm not going to do them today. I will just share with you my favorite, Ephesians 1:17. And I personalize that to read, "I pray that my heart will be flooded with light so that I can understand the wonderful future that You have promised to me. I ask that You would give me the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in my knowledge of You." Wisdom and revelation from the Lord is one of the most powerful things you can pray for when you're looking to move forward in a situation that's difficult. You can never go wrong with that. Now, I know that the Lord is up to some things today and we want to stir those, but just a quick reminder of where we've been. Faith in faith is not faith. The size of the object of our faith, which is Jesus Christ, determines the size of our faith. We're each given a measure of our faith, and we are each encouraged to grow that faith so that the parameters of it are bigger. Faith grows through building a history of experiences. Our faith grows through the knowledge and understanding of the Word. We can do that by personalizing Scripture and remembering to express gratitude for answered prayer, so that it becomes a part of our unique history with the Lord. If you would stand, we're going to pray. I'd like you to personalize the prayer to yourself as we pray and make it your prayer to the Lord. Lord, we do thank you for your presence. We are grateful to you, Lord, just for worship today. Grateful that you showed up. Grateful that you have a willingness to be a part of our everyday lives. Grateful that you have a willingness to stir your hope and faith in us. We are grateful that you want to be involved in our day-to-day lives, and we are grateful that you long to build an intimacy and faith so that we can be a part of your work in our world today, and we welcome you to do that. In Jesus' name, we pray it. While you're on your feet, I'm going to ask Rhonda to come and Brian to come. They have a few words that they want to share, and then we're going to go from there.
You know, sometimes when we go through life, we forget that Satan is a roaring lion whose job, whose purpose is out to destroy us. So sometimes when we go through life, we experience things and we automatically attribute to our own shortfallings or downfallings. Well, I could only get my act together in this area or that area. It's my fault. It's me doing. And sometimes we forget that there is actually can be a spirit out there that has been assigned to discourage and destroy us in any way possible. Yeah. So I feel like the Lord is really wanting to bring today some personal words of encouragement and prayer assistance for you. I did see or have an understanding that someone out there, I believe, has a teenage daughter that has been experiencing some depression. And what I saw in my mind's eye were think of a copper wire wrapped around the head. And it really was a spirit of confusion. And the spirit of confusion was presenting the symptom of that, the results, the effect of it was depression in the teenage daughter. So if your daughter, your teenage daughter, is experiencing that, I would encourage you to perhaps, you know, bring her forward and let's pray about that, because it's something that is, it's an oppression that's being done to her, and she may need a little assistance in getting over that, you know, freedom from that.
What we'll do so that one person doesn't feel really exposed is those of you who are experiencing discouragement and are looking for the Lord to lift that, we're going to just make a place over here in the corner, and anyone can come up what they like, and we will pray over you all as a group, and then if that other person wants to present themselves separately later, they can do that as well.
And that also was a second word that fits in beautifully, was I felt like there was a group of people who actually had been under the influence of a spirit of discouragement. And I heard from the Lord, what I believe is from the Lord, I heard the statement, the battle belongs to the Lord, and he is the master of battle strategy. And it fits so beautifully into what Marilyn was talking about, is he is this wonderful artiste. And what makes him such a master of strategy is he can do things differently every time. So it's very difficult to get a pinhold on how he may respond the next time from the enemy's perspective. But anyway, the battle belongs to him, and looks like he's wanting to stand up and take it on for our behalf today. I also saw or had a sense that there was a group of people that God is releasing over them and in them an evangelistic spirit. And what was interesting was I saw that the seed had been planted. And then I heard the words, now plow the field. I thought, oh, wait a minute, that didn't make sense. You plow the field first and then you plant the seed. And then I felt like the Holy Spirit had a little conversation with me. Not in his ways. In his ways, the seed is planted, and then we give ourselves over to that which has been planted, and we cultivate the field so that the seed becomes incorporated into the field. You know, we put the good dirt into it. We actually break it up. We give ourselves over to it. We see we are weeding. We're really cultivating the field so that the seed has every opportunity to yield a good harvest. It was a new concept to me. But I really felt like many of you, I wanted to confirm to you, I believe the Lord is planting within you a seed of evangelism. And you may have been feeling these tugs of, oh, God, you know, I want to do something. I want to reach out. I want to touch people. I've been having these people on my heart. I'm not sure. Give yourself over to it. And what that means is this. Go to people who know evangelism. Don Weber. That's his heart, his compassion. Go strike up conversations with Don. Make yourself, get yourself involved of.
This morning, Don, if you would make yourself available as well, and we'll gather over in that alcove over there.